Want to welcome each of you today. It's a tremendous blessing to be in the house of the Lord and to be here to worship with you and to have an opportunity around the Word is a tremendous, I don't know how to say it, privilege, I guess, and I'm very thankful for that. I want to mention a couple things before we get to the sermon, the Wild Game Dinner. You need tickets to get into that, and as you go out today, there's a table on the right, you can get those tickets. And if you have someone coming, make sure that you have tickets for them. I think there's a sign in or something for that as well. So we need a number. We can only seat so many, and we're looking to do that well. So that's the idea there. I think Don had mentioned, but there's still those that really need our prayers today. Pastor Baker does. Dorothy's here with us as well. We welcome her, and it's a joy to see her with us here. Karen Welch, as she continues to recover. Mark Gonzalski, Barb Ives. Those are all ones, and there are others. But folks, I'm asking you to pray. We need prayer. You need to be praying for that person next to you. We need prayer ourselves. We need to be praying for those. There's a list in our bulletin that has provided you, and we need to be doing that. Next Sunday, Pastor Wes will preach the morning sermon. He'll be in 2 Corinthians 5. He'll continue on there. Sam Cochran will preach tonight in our evening service and next week as well. Just some things to keep in mind. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. That's where we will be today. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. We're going to look at verses 4 through 18. Excuse me. 13 through 18. That's what we're going to do, 13 through 18. So I want to read that, and we'll go from there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you in this moment in time, and we come as a people who see our great need for you, for your word, for your spirit to intercede in our lives, to interact with us in the word, to help us to understand it, to bring conviction, to bring courage, to bring hope, to bring just exactly what we need. And so we come before you today, not as a people that have it all together, because we do not. We come to you as a people in great need. And Father, you know our struggles, you know our trials, you know our heartaches, you know our fears. You know that which really motivates us, and you know that which is so discouraging. And so we come to you in these bodies that are broken and these hearts that often stray, and we are sheep, and we need you to pull us back to the shepherd of our souls. And I pray, Father, you will bless those who mourn, that you will comfort them. I pray for those that are struggling in faith today, that you would just encourage them and bring them a measure of truth that will help them to grow. And for those that may be here that have yet to trust Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation, that today they could see that they're sinners in need of a Savior and they can't do anything, no work at all that would bring justification or an opportunity for a relationship with you. But that's only through faith. Faith in Christ, who died, rose again, never to die again, who was the perfect sacrifice, the one to end all sacrifices. And he rose in triumph over death and sin and hell. And Father, we pray that they might see that. Father, there are those that I've mentioned earlier that have great physical needs. And our hearts ache with them, Father. And there are more than this, certainly more than we've listed. And I pray that you will bless, that you will help, that you will encourage them. There are some that are close to stepping into eternity. May what is proclaimed in your scripture, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, may that just, Father, change their hearts and move them in joy to this moment in time when they realize, fully realize their heavenly home, their citizenship that is kept by your power. Father, bless as I proclaim. We need your help here. I need your help. Help me to see and to know and to speak in a way that's pleasing to you, that's good for the listener. And I pray for the listener and myself that we both would respond properly to your great revelation to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just want to remind you, there is an outline on the bulletin of today's sermon. Also, at the bottom of that is a description how you can go and listen. If you want to listen again, there are many sermons on our website. I think there's 200 and some. All different topics, but BarkRiverBibleChurch.com. You get there, you can find the sermon tab and go from there, and you'll have it. We don't put out CDs, so that's your entrance there. I have a little bit of fear this morning, and that is the great truth that is here before us that we might miss, and I might somehow proclaim it in a way that's not the best. And so this is a life-changing section of Scripture. I just want you to know that. It really is. And Paul now begins to talk about life, and he's certainly talking about death. Well, eternity. In these next, Pastor Wes is going to touch on it next week. We'll continue with that, but that's where he's going. With that, let me say this. I remember a discussion that I had with a man who was about to turn 30. I, at the time, was in my late 30s. He was a rancher. He worked out in the state of Wyoming. He was outside every day. He was in great physical condition. God had granted him a loving wife and children. He had much to be thankful for. But you know what? His 30th birthday was upon him. It was just around the corner. And in the conversation that I had with him, he mentioned this, and he mentioned it with great trepidation. His demeanor spoke to the dread this reality posed for him. For this individual, 30 years of age, oh, if we could only be back there, right? 30 years of age meant his youth was now gone. He'd never get it back. Life was spinning out of control. Because his view was that something now was gone forever. And I could see that this was a fact he could barely deal with. There was pressure. It was depressive. It was upon him. He felt it. Well, the truth is, we're all getting older, and it can make an individual feel just like that man that I've just described. So, okay, does God's word have anything to say about this? Should a follower of Christ view aging and ultimately dying? How should they look at that? Should we take the view of aging as an unwelcome dread that each morning is reaffirmed as we gaze into the mirror? What does God's word say about this? Furthermore, how did the apostle view this now aging body that carried the battle scars of serving Jesus? Paul, as he writes this, is no longer a young man. Should we just go on depressed or sulking and trudging along as we follow Christ? Should that be a response? Well, let's say the Scripture addresses this, and it has a lot to say about it. I believe what it has to say can bring us great hope and great joy. But really, where I want us to rest here is that our future, the future of the believer, stands upon an unshakable foundation, which directly impacts today. It impacts how I look at life and how I look at death. It'll just become clearer and clearer as we go through this passage and the following teaching, how Paul viewed that and believed what he believed about the future and how that made a dramatic impact on how he lived in the present. It made a difference in how he viewed his own mortality. Well, let's begin with the foundation of our future. It's in verses 13 to 15. In verse 13, it says this, and I want to read this again. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. The foundation of our future is before us here. And he really lays, the Scripture just lays it out pretty clear in verses 13 to 15. And verse 13 really speaks to us that it stands upon faith in Christ. It's not our faith, it's the object of our faith. Our object of our faith here is Christ. Personally, for the apostle, it had a direct impact on what he did. If you recall, the apostle was specifically set apart to proclaim Jesus Christ any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. He did that in public places. He did it in prison. Didn't matter. But he had been given this new covenant ministry of the gospel of grace that was his life. And he identifies here with the psalmist from Psalm 116. I'd encourage you when you go home today to read that psalm. In the middle of that psalm, he quotes from that, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." And it seems to me that he just identifies with what I believe it's King David here is going through. He's facing life and death situations, and there are those that are after him, those who hated him. And out of that, he says this, "I believe, therefore I have spoken." There's a direct daily impact on the psalmist's life and what he believed and how he faced those difficulties. And it's the same for the Apostle Paul. It's the same for you and I. Perspective is everything. It influences our attitude and influences our courage or lack of it. So there's this direct link here to what was believed and how life was faced. The Apostle Paul, he couldn't help but proclaim Christ. That's what he was born for. That's why the Lord saved him. He gave him a specific ministry, and he was going to carry it out. And he identifies with the faith of those who had gone on, in this case, the psalmist who had gone on before him. There's so much there for us, friends. Hebrews 11, what a great chapter. You know, we can identify with those individuals, and we draw up next to them, and their courage impacts us. Maybe you find yourself very discouraged with life today. Maybe you find yourself weak, feel almost impotent to live as God would have you to live. I'd have you go back to the Word. Encourage yourself in the Word. Paul says, you know, I can identify with that guy back there. Well, I'll tell you, I can identify with the apostle and those who have gone on before us. Some of the saints that aren't listed in the Scripture that I've known in my life, I identify with them. But this foundation of our future, it stands upon faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? And if you do, your future is secure. 1 Peter 1:3-5 speaks of that, that we're kept by the power of God. And what's before us is in His hands. It stands upon faith in Christ. But listen, folks, it stands upon the resurrection. It's almost unbelievable they'd put this in the Scripture, isn't it? Because you know what? I remind you guys again and again of this one truth. He's risen. Amen. Amen. And you know what? Paul says, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Our foundation for the future, it stands upon faith in Christ. It stands upon the resurrection. This is the one historical fact that all of our hope in Christianity stands upon. Paul says, we know, are knowing the He who raised. He says, this is something that we're sure of. Remember that first resurrection morning when the angel of the Lord spoke. He said these words at the tomb. He's not here. I love how Matthew records this. He's not here, for He's risen just as He said. See the place where He was lying. Come see the empty tomb. He's not here. He's risen. Those were the words at first resurrection morning. How did that resurrection affect Paul? Well, first of all, the Apostle Paul, because Jesus is alive, had a personal encounter with Him on a dusty road. He was gone by the name of Saul there, a Pharisee of Pharisees, zealous for the persecution of the church. He hated Christians, and therefore he hated Christ. But it was in that light that Jesus came to him. That's recorded in Acts 22, other places in Acts as well, Acts 9. He saw the one whom he hated, and he heard His voice. This was a pivotal moment for the apostle. It was a life-changing moment for him. He became a follower. And the fact that Jesus was risen, that He was alive, meant that He was in the apostle as well. He would write this, "To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is this, Christ in you." He wrote to the believers at Colossae, and he says, "Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in Him." He was taken up by Jesus and empowered him as he went on to withstand the onslaught of what it was to serve Christ in his day. He lived for Christ. He was willing to die for him and eventually would, because Jesus was alive. Paul was convinced of the saving power of the Lord and believed that to take his last breath here, listen to me, to take his last breath here was to immediately be in the presence of the Lord. You're in 2 Corinthians 4. Look at chapter 5, verse 8. He's mentioned, we're always of good courage, verse 6. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are of what? Good courage, I say. Prefer. Paul, if you ask Paul, what's your preference here? Oh, here it is. To be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. That's my preference. I could go to other scriptures. We'll mention one here in just a minute. But this empowered the apostle in his life, in his walking by faith. Jesus was alive. Paul was convinced of it, and he believed it. In Philippians, he wrote this way. This is a tremendous section. Here's the heart of the apostle. He's just telling us what he believes by the Spirit of God. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live, to walk on this earth, to interact, to be with others, to do what I'm doing, to proclaim Christ, to have one-on-one here, for me it's to represent Christ. But to die is what? Gain. We don't look at it like that. I'm not sure that I fully have grasped and am at the point where I need to be with this. I will tell you, I believe this. I look forward to this. But Paul, for him, it was, you know what? While I'm here, it's all about Christ, not about me. It's not about what I can stack up. It's not about what I can gain. It's about him. It's about his glory. And to die is gain. And then he says, if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. I also do not know which to choose. If I had to choose, I'm hard-pressed. For both directions, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, for that is what? Very much better. You know, as believers, we die differently. We do funerals differently. Our fingers are not attached to what we have here. Our we need not try to grasp it. No, we're citizens of heaven. We're passing through, and we want to be used by Christ for his glory, certainly. But listen, friend, there's a place that's much better, and that is to be with Christ. We need to loosen our grips a bit on what is here. His life was this earthen vessel, devoted to Christ and guided by him for the proclamation of that radical, transformative gospel of grace. The risen Christ was the basis of the gospel he preached. Turn with me back to 1 Corinthians 15. It is the resurrection chapter. Look at how the scripture is stated here. And again, there's this fact of the resurrection. Our future stands upon faith in Christ, and it stands upon the resurrection where Jesus died and rose again, never to die again. Here's the proclamation made by the apostle. It's the gospel, the good news. 1 Corinthians 15, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, that would be unbelief. And here it is. I deliver to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. To his listeners, they would understand the Old Testament prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. When he says he died according to the Scriptures, it was as the Word would say, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, and he mentions the 12, verse 8, and last of all to one untimely born. Here he appeared also to me also. You know how precious that is? That Paul would know that and that Jesus would come. But he says, this is our message. It isn't a message of religion. It isn't a message of do. It's not you need to do. It is this. Christ has come. He's fulfilled the Scripture. He's the one sacrifice for all time. And your faith is to be in him alone. And that's wherein you stand. Not only did he preach it, all the apostles preached it. In Peter's preaching in Acts 2, he referenced the resurrection. It was the center of his message there. He mentioned it twice. But the risen Christ was the basis. It was the foundation of what he proclaimed. Jesus defeated death, and because he lives, we will live also. He is the resurrection and the life. Notice verse 14, what else he says. He says, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. So he's saying that same power that brought Christ from the dead will do the same for us. And those brothers and sisters in Corinth, as messed up as this church was, would one day, with Paul, be presented by Christ to God as trophies of his grace for all eternity. That's what he's saying. He will, that same power. See, this is key. This is key. He's risen. It's key. This is what the foundation of our future stands upon. Faith in Christ, the resurrection, and finally, oh, this great anticipation. It stands upon anticipation. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. There's a lot there. Verse 15 reveals how the gospel of grace was spreading to more and more people. As Paul proclaimed, as believers proclaimed, more and more, the book of Acts, you see 3,000, 5,000, and there's just this immense harvest, if you would, of souls that are coming into the kingdom. But this brought about a thanksgiving and glory to God. Do you see it there? So that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. This brought about thanksgiving, and it needs to in our hearts. Hey, I want to ask you a question. When was the last time you got before God and said, thanks for saving this wretched sinner? Paul says that's the response. And that ought to all, not only just to be in us, but to all people, to the glory of God. Praise his name. He saves sinners. I am one of them. And the apostle is saying here, this anticipation. And he mentions going to be presented, this is going to abound glory, and it's going to be in glory that I believe this is really, really hashed out. Great reminder to us this morning. Just to be before God and not take for granted his beautiful, glorious grace. He met the apostle one day. If you know Christ, he came and met you. He's chased you, he's pursued you, he loves you with a love that's indescribable, unending. It's not dependent upon how good you are. It's not dependent upon, you know, what you can bring to him. He just loves you. But there'll be a day, friends, when we give thanks and glory to God, not here, but there. Think of it, surrounded by the saints of old. Some of you have been here a while, and you've been on this earth a while, and you have family members that have now gone on before you. Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner, and with summer comes those family reunions, right? And we get to go to those things, right? And there we see and we hear, and this is family. And we see them, and we get to find out what's going on in their lives, what's happening, and so forth. And there's that reunion, but there's going to be a reunion of reunions one day. And we, as believers, will join the heavenly host. Notice this, Revelation 5, 11 through 13. Then I look. This is just a glimpse, if you would, an unveiling, an opening of the door into heaven. I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. And the living creatures and the elders and the number of them was myriads and myriads and thousands upon thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. That's what will be heard and seen in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. This anticipation. It's our future, friends. If you know Christ, this is your future. And every created thing, which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea, and all things in them, I heard saying, this, now you got everyone. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. That is our future. That is our future. It is also this. We arrive at this destination one of two ways, either by rapture or by death. This is speaking of rapture here in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. That is that great next event on God's redemptive calendar. When Jesus steps out of heaven, his son, to go get his bride, the church. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, this could happen today. Some of you might be saying, yes, Lord, come even before he's done. Bring it on. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, what? Comfort one another with these words. For believers, this is your future. This is your future. How glorious this is. We look with great anticipation. Or it's by death. So either we get caught up while we're alive here and now, where it's by death, where we step right into the presence of the Lord. Many of you know this text, Luke 24:43, and he said to them, that is Jesus said to him, I should say, not to them, but he said to him, this is where Jesus is on the cross. And there are two thieves with him on either side, one on either side. One had been railing with him. Matter of fact, they both started out mocking him, but one saw something in Jesus. And his heart was turned to faith. And Jesus knew it because he knows all things. And he said to him, truly I say to you, I believe the thief has said, remember me. Truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. He knows that today the thief will die. And he said to him, what? Today. 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 I love what one writer has said about this whole thought. Death is not the end of the story. It wasn't the end of the story for Christ. It won't be for us. He was raised from the dead. We shall be raised from the dead. He ascended into glory. We shall be taken up to glory to be presented to the Father. That's our foundation. It is firm. It is on faith in Christ. It's on the rapture, and it includes this future anticipation of being with him. Why am I saying this? Why did the apostle say this? Because of this. What is before us needs to have a direct and will have a direct, and what you believe is your future will and needs to have a direct impact on your life today. That's what this is about. And that's why the apostle could go through unimaginable things and continue to look to Christ, to look to Christ, to look to Christ, because one day he said, I will be with him. So, wherever you're at today, whatever you're facing, it ought to, what you believe, who your focus is on, has to and will have a direct impact on the heaviness of which you walk or the lightness of those steps. It will. So what are you believing? That's my question. What are you believing? Let's look further here. There's the influence of our future as well. And that's really where we get with what I've just said. But this provides daily courage. And now I've got to hustle. I don't know how that often always happens, but here we are, the influence of our future. So we could say, so what? Okay, so we've laid these things out. So what? How does that make a difference? He says in verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. It provides daily courage. Okay, here are these great truths. Faith in Christ, the resurrection, this anticipation. What difference does that make right here, right now? Daily courage. We don't lose heart. Well, I'll tell you, friends, if you look at any and to anything else, you're going to lose heart. And I believe as believers, we would have to say sometimes it's pretty blue. Why? Because I'm really not believing or looking or thinking in the right realm as to what this means. We don't lose heart. He mentions here in verse 16, though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. This provides daily courage. That which is just stated, courage, courage, courage. There ought to be joy here that comes to us. And if you know, if we get this, I believe that that will happen. That doesn't mean there are not times when there are great heartaches. There are. That's what it is to live on this side of glory. And that's why it's not called glory today. That glorification is future. Will one day be with the Lord. But it provides daily courage. It also provides daily renewal. You'll notice here in verse 16 again, though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. You know, we don't lose heart because, well, there's something here more than just a body. There is a daily renewal that we can have in Christ, in fellowship, in truth. Our bodies are not redeemed yet. You guys know that, right? Are you with me? You know who's really shaking their heads? All of us older ones are like, yeah, that's right. You younger ones are saying, I don't know. You'll get there. Hang around long enough, you'll get there. We are living today under the curse of sin. Our bodies are subject to the consequences of Adam and Eve's, that original sin. Death entered the world. So each of us are dying. I'm a day closer to glory. I'm a day closer to death or the rapture than I was yesterday. That's just the truth of it. We're closing in on that day when these bodies will no longer have life in them. All right, I probably don't need to illustrate this, but I will. Have any of you looked at old photos of yourself lately? For most of us, we can hardly believe what we once looked like, right? Do you know why they take hundreds of photos at a wedding? And I tell these young ones this when they get married. I take a lot of photos. Why? Because you'll never look like this again. I look at our wedding photo once in a while, I think, serious? These bodies are decaying. You know, I'm 54 years old, and I feel it, I know it. I'm just going to mention a couple things. I'm not complaining. I'm in very good health. I'm thankful for what I have. I have tinnitus, constant ringing in my ears. I just have that. Ran a chainsaw for a lot of times, shot too many guns, rode on snowmobile. I don't know why all that is, but I was teaching Sunday school this morning, and I don't hear well anymore. I just don't. I know some of those that I, what's that again? And I hate to ask people to repeat themselves. If I ever walk by you and you say something like, hey, pastor, and I just keep walking, it's because I didn't hear you. Not, you know, so we feel these things, and there's lots more, right, folks? But the scripture says our outer man is decaying, and we all say amen. That's true. That is so true. But look at this. Look at this. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. That's communion. That's fellowship. That's God ministering to our hearts. So there's this daily courage, this daily renewal. And, of course, this daily perspective. And he says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So the apostle's saying, okay, take glory, take heaven, take what's to come, take being with Jesus, take all that, put that on a scale, and then you put these afflictions that you encounter. Now, he never says, and I'm glad he doesn't do that, those afflictions are not real, that they're not heart-wrenching and crushing, they are. But he says, when you put that on a scale of what's to come, boom, it doesn't even register compared to what is our inheritance. So, afflictions, all this stuff, it's temporary. It will not last, but these afflictions that we face, they don't, on a scale of 1 to 10, they don't reach a 1 compared to the 10 of what it is to be with Christ. So there's those afflictions. And then there's this temporary and the eternal. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but it's the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We see with our eyes what is before us, but our eyes can't, they can betray us into our thinking and in our pursuit. That which we see is real, but it's temporal. It will not last into eternity. One day, all that we see, all that we own, all that we touch, it'll be gone. All those things we hold so dear to, they will vanish. Those things we have treasured someone else and kept and stored up, they will cease to exist. The reality is, I believe, that we all struggle with grabbing on to the truth that is here, that is explaining. That's why Jesus said this in Matthew 6, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal." I read most Christians prepare really well for the retirement, but don't prepare so well for eternity. That's just the way it is for us. We battle that, right? Jesus said, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, because they'll be gone. Store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So, there's nothing on this earth that compares to that day. Our future, friends, is unshakable. It stands firm upon faith in the resurrected Christ. And those truths provide for us a daily courage, renewal, and a perspective that ought to really impact our future today. To really make a difference. I'd ask myself, am I living out this reality? And I would ask that of you guys. Are you living out this reality? Have the saints who have gone on before us, does their faith inspire us? And does their pursuit inspire us? Does Christ inspire us in the way he looked at life? I'll end with this. Our future, it stands on an unshakable foundation which directly impacts how we do life. Okay? Our future, that unshakable foundation kept by the power of God directly impacts everything about this right now. Because what I do here and now makes a difference for all eternity. Loving Father, I pray that the reality of what this is to live here, apart from our citizenship, fully grasping and having that in our hand, how we live here now because of what's before us, there will be a direct link, a direct connection. And Father, maybe it is that we've pursued everything that's here, everything we see, and we're looking at life and we're discouraged with all the dying that is around us, and we look at our own bodies and, wow, we're not getting any younger, and we're not bringing the right perspective to all of that. We can be renewed within. These dying bodies can have within them a heart that is on fire for Christ. I pray that would be us. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to grasp all this and to go with great joy and courage, that we don't lose heart, that we just stand there on those things to know Christ, to know the resurrection, to have this anticipation of gathering with all the saints for all time, that will totally transform us, Father. That there would be within us just a steadfastness as we work for the glory of your name. Bless your people, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me get to the back, you're dismissed.